the 28th of August. At home all the morning setting papers in order. At noon to the change, and there met with Dr. Williams by appointment, and with him went up and down to look for an attorney, a friend of his, to advise with about our bond of my Aunt Pepys's of £200. And he tells me absolutely that we shall not be forced to pay interest for the money. Yet I do doubt it very much. I spent the whole afternoon drinking with him, and so home. This day I counterfeited a letter to Sir William Penn, as from the thief that stole his tankard lately, only to abuse and laugh at him. The 29th of August. At the office all the morning, and at noon my father, mother, and my Aunt Bell, the first time that ever she was at my house, came to dine with me, and did, and were very merry. After dinner the two women went to visit my Aunt White, etc., and my father about other business, and I abroad to my bookseller, and there stayed till 4 o'clock, at which time, by appointment, I was to meet my father at my Uncle Fenner's. So thither I went, and with him to an alehouse. And then came Mr. Evans, the tailor, whose daughter we have a mind to get for a wife for Tom, and then my father. And there we sat a good while and talked about the business. In fine, he told us that he hath not to accept against us or our motion, but that the estate that God hath blessed him with is too great to give, where there is nothing in present possession but a trade and house. And so we friendly ended. Then parted, my father and I together, and walked a little way. And then at Holborn, he and I took leave of one another, he being to go to Brampton, to settle things against my mother comes, tomorrow morning. So I home. The 30th of August. At noon my wife and I met at the wardrobe, and there dined with the children, and after dinner up to my lady's bedside, and talked and laughed a good while. Then my wife and I to Drury Lane, to the French comedy, which was so ill done, and the scenes and company and everything else so nasty and out of order and poor, that I was sick all the while in my mind to be there. Here my wife met with the son of my Lord Somerset, whom she knew in France, a pretty man, but I showed him no great countenance to avoid further acquaintance. That done, there being nothing pleasant but the foolery of the farce, we went home. The 31st of August. At home, and the office all the morning, and at noon comes Llewellyn to me, and he and I to the tavern, and after that to Bartholomew Fair, and there, upon his motion, to a pitiful alehouse, where we had a dirty slut or two come up that were whores. But my very heart went against them, so that I took no pleasure, but a great deal of trouble at being there, and getting from thence, for fear of being seen. From thence he and I walked toward Ludgate and parted. I back again to the fair all alone, and there met with my ladies Jemima and Paulina, with Mr. Pickering and Mademoiselle, at seeing the monkeys dance, which was much to see what they could be brought to do. But it troubled me to sit among such nasty company. After that with them into Christ's Hospital, and there Mr. Pickering bought them some fairings, and I did give every of them a bauble, which was the little globes of glass with things hanging in them, which pleased the ladies very well. After that, home with them in their coach, and there was called up to my lady, and she would have me stay to talk with her, which I did, I think, a full hour. And the poor lady did with so much innocency tell me how Mistress Crisp had told her that she did intend, by means of a lady that lies at her house, to get the king to be godfather to the young lady that she's in childbed now of. But to see in what a manner my lady told it me, protesting that she sweat in the very telling of it, was the greatest pleasure to me in the world, to see the simplicity and harmlessness of a lady. Then down to supper with the ladies, and so home, Mr. Moore, as he and I cannot easily part, leading me as far as Fanchurch Street to the Mitre, where we drank a glass of wine, and so parted, and I home, and to bed. Thus ends the month. My maid Jane newly gone, and Paul, left now to do all the work till another maid comes, which shall not be till she goes away into the country with my mother, myself and wife in good health, my Lord Sandwich in the Straits, a newly recovered of a great sickness at Alicante, my father gone to settle at Brampton, and myself under much business and trouble for to settle things in the estate to our content. But which is worst, I find myself lately too much given to seeing of plays, and expense, and pleasure, which makes me forget my business, which I must labour to amend. No money comes in, so that I've been forced to borrow a great deal of money for my own expenses, and to furnish my father, to leave things in order. I have some trouble about my brother Tom, who is now left to keep my father's trade, in which I have great fears that he will miscarry, for want of brains and care. At court things are in very ill condition, there being so much emulation, poverty, and the vices of swearing, drinking, and whoring, that I know not what will be the end of it but confusion, and the clergy so high that all people that I meet with all do protest against their practice. In short, I see no content or satisfaction anywhere in any one sort of people. The benevolence proves so little, and an occasion of so much discontent everywhere, that it had better it had never been set up. I think to subscribe £20. We are at our office quiet, only for lack of money. All things go to rack. Our very bills offered to be sold upon the exchange at 10% loss. We are upon getting Sir Richard Ford's house added to our office, but I see so many difficulties will follow, in pleasing of one another in the dividing of it, and in becoming bound personally to pay the rent of £200 per annum, that I do believe it will yet scarce come to pass. The season very sickly everywhere of strange and fatal fevers. September 1661. The first, Lord's Day. Last night, being very rainy, the rain broke into my house, the gutter being stopped, and spoiled all my ceilings almost. At church in the morning, and dined at home with my wife. After dinner to Sir William Batten's, where I find Sir William Penn and Captain Holmes. Here we were very merry with Sir William Penn about the loss of his tankard, though all be but a cheat, and he doth not yet understand it. But the tankard was stole by Sir William Batten, and the letters, as from the thief, wrote by me, which makes very good sport. Here I stayed all the afternoon, and then Captain Holmes and I by coach to Whitehall. In our way I find him by discourse to be a great friend of my lord's, and told me that there were many did seek to remove him, but they were old seamen, such as Sir John Menis. But he would name no more, though I do believe Sir William Batten is one of them that do envy him. But he says he knows that the king doth so love him, and the Duke of York too, that there is no fear of him. He seems to be very well acquainted with the king's mind, and with all the several factions at court, and spoke all with so much frankness that I do take him to be my lord's good friend, and one able to do him great service, being a cunning fellow, and one, by his own confession to me, that can put on two several faces, and look his enemies in the face, with as much love as his friends. But good God, what an age is this, and what a world is this, that a man cannot live without playing the knave and dissimulation. At Whitehall we parted, and I to Mistress Pierce's, meeting her and Madam Clifford in the street, and there stayed talking and laughing with them a good while, and so back to my mother's, and there supped, and so home, and to bed. The 2nd of September. In the morning to my cousin Thomas Pepys, executor, and there talked with him about my uncle Thomas, his being in the country. But he could not advise me to do anything therein, not knowing what the other hath done in the country, and so we parted. And so to Whitehall, and there my Lord Privy Seal, who hath been out of town this week, not being yet come, we can have no seal. And therefore, meeting with Mr. Battersby, the apothecary in Fanchurch Street, to the King's apothecary's chamber in Whitehall, and there drank a bottle or two of wine. and so he and I, by water, toward London. I landed at Blackfriars, and so to the wardrobe and dined, and then back to Whitehall with Captain Ferrers, and there walked, and thence to Westminster Hall, where we met with Mr. Pickering, and so all of us to the Rhenish Wine House, Prior's, where the master of the house is laying out some money in making a cellar with an arch in his yard, which is very convenient for him. Here we stayed a good while, and so Mr. Pickering and I to Westminster Hall again, and there walked an hour or two, talking. And though he be a fool, yet he keeps much company, and will tell all he sees or hears, and so a man may understand what the common talk of the town is. And I find by him that there is endeavours to get my lord out of play at sea, which I believe Mr. Coventry and the Duke do think will make them more absolute. But I hope, for all this, they will not be able to do it. He tells me plainly of the vices of the court, and how the pox is as common there, and so I hear of all hands that it is as common as eating and swearing. From him, by water, to the bridge, and then to the Mitre, where I met my uncle and Aunt White, come to see Mistress Rawlinson in her husband's absence out of town. And so I stayed with them and Mr. Lucas and other company, very merry, and so home, where my wife hath been busy all the day making of pies, and hath been abroad and bought things for herself, and tells me that she met at the change with my young ladies of the wardrobe, and there helped them to buy things, and also with Mr. Somerset, who did give her a bracelet of rings, which did a little trouble me, though I know there is no hurt yet in it, but only for fear of further acquaintance. So to bed. This night I sent another letter to Sir William Penn to offer him the return of his tankard upon his leaving of 30 shillings at a place where that should be brought, the issue which I am to expect. The 3rd of September. This day some of us commissioners went down to Deptford to pay off some ships, but I could not go, but stayed at home all the morning setting papers to write. And this morning Mr. Howell, our turner, sent me 2 things to file papers on, very handsome. Dined at home, and then with my wife to the wardrobe, where my lady's child was christened, my Lord Crewe and his lady, and my Lady Montague, my lord's mother-in-law, were the witnesses, and named Catherine, the queen-elect's name. But to my and all our trouble, the parson of the parish christened her, and did not sign the child with the sign of the cross. After that was done, we had a very fine banquet, the best I ever was at, and so, there being but very little company, we by and by broke up, and my wife and I to my mother, who I took a liberty to advise about her getting things ready to go this week into the country, to my father, and she, being become nowadays very simple, took it very ill, and we had a great deal of noise and wrangling about it. So home by coach. The 4th of September. In the morning to the Privy Seal to do some things of the last months, my Lord Privy Seal having been some time out of town. Then my wife came to me to Whitehall, and we went and walked a good while in St. James's Park to see the brave alterations, and so to Wilkinson's, the cook's, to dinner, where we sent for Mistress Sarah, and there dined, and had oysters, the first I've ate this year, and were pretty good. After dinner, by agreement, to visit Mistress Simons, but she is abroad, which I wonder at, and so, missing her, my wife and I again to my mother's, calling at Mistress Pierce's, who we find brought to bed of a girl last night, and there stayed and drank, and she resolves to be going to-morrow without fail. Many friends came in to take their leave of her, but a great deal of stir I had again to-night about getting her to go to see my Lady Sandwich before she goes, which she says she will do to-morrow. So I home. The 5th of September. To the Privy Seal this morning about business, in my way taking leave of my mother, who goes to Brampton today. But doing my business at the Privy Seal pretty soon, I took boat and went to my Uncle Fenner's, and there I find my mother and my wife and Paul, of whom I had this morning at my own house taken leave and given her 20 shillings and good counsel how to carry herself to my father and mother. And so I took them, it being late, to Beard's, where they were stayed for, and so I put them into the wagon, and saw them going presently, Paul crying exceedingly. Then in with my wife, my Aunt Bell and Charles Pepys, whom we met there, and drank. And so to my Uncle Fenner's to dinner, in my way meeting a French footman with feathers, who was in quest of my wife, and spoke with her privately, but I could not tell what it was. Only my wife promised to go to some place tomorrow morning, which doth trouble my mind how to know whither it was, where both his sons and daughters were, and there we were merry and dined. After dinner news was brought that my Aunt Kite, the butcher's widow in London, is sick, ready to die, and sends for my uncle and I to come to take charge of things, and to be entrusted with the care of her daughter. But I, through want of time to undertake such a business, I was taken up by Anthony Joyce, which came at last to very high words, which made me very angry, and I did not think that he would ever have been such a fool to meddle with other people's business. But I saw he spoke worse to his father than to me, and therefore I bore it the better. But all the company was offended with him. So we parted angry, he and I, and so my wife and I to the fair, and I showed her the Italian dancing the ropes, and the women that do strange tumbling tricks, and so by foot home, vexed in my mind about Anthony Joyce. The 6th of September. This morning my Uncle Fenner by appointment came and drank his morning draught with me, and from thence he and I to see my Aunt Kite, my wife holding her resolution to go this morning as she resolved yesterday, and though there could not be much hurt in it, yet my own jealousy put 100 things into my mind which did much trouble me all day. Whom we find in bed, and not like to live as we think. And she told us her mind was that if she should die, she did give all she had to her daughter, only 5 pounds apiece to her second husband's children, in case they lived to come out of their apprenticeships, and that if her daughter should die before marriage, then 10 pounds to be divided between Sarah Kite's children, and the rest as her own daughter shall dispose of it. And this I set down, that I may be able to swear, in case there should be occasion. From thence to an alehouse, while it rained, which kept us there, I think, above 2 hours, and at last we were fain to go through the rainy streets home, calling on his sister Utbert, and drank there. Then I home to dinner all alone, and thence my mind, being for my wife's going abroad much troubled and unfit for business, I went to the theatre, and saw Elder Brother, ill-acted. That done, meeting here with Sir George Askew and Sir Theophilus Jones, and another night, with Sir William Penn, we to the Ship Tavern, and there stayed and were merry till late at night. And so got a coach, and Sir William and I home, where my wife hath been long come home, but I seemed very angry, as indeed I am, and did not all night show her any countenance, neither before nor in bed, and so slept and rise discontented. The 7th of September. At the office all the morning. At noon Mr. Moore dined with me, and then in comes William Joyce, to answer a letter of mine I writ this morning to him about a maid of his that my wife had hired. And she sent us word that she was hired to stay longer with her master, which mistake he came to clear himself of, and I took it very kindly. So I having appointed the young ladies at the wardrobe to go with them to a play today, I left him and my brother Tom, who came along with him to dine, and my wife and I to them, and took them to the theatre, where we seated ourselves close by the King and Duke of York and Madam Palmer, which was great content, and indeed I can never enough admire her beauty. And here was Bartholomew Fair, with the puppet show, acted today, which had not been these 40 years, it being so satirical against Puritanism, they durst not till now, which is strange they should already dare to do it, and the king to countenance it. But I do never a whit like it the better for the puppets, but rather the worse. Thence home with the ladies, it being, by reason of our staying a great while for the king's coming and the length of the play, near 9 o'clock before it was done, and so in their coach home, and, still in discontent with my wife, to bed, and rose so this morning also. The 8th of September, Lord's Day. To church, it being a very wet night last night and today. Dined at home, and so to church again with my wife in the afternoon. And coming home again, find our new maid, Doll, asleep, that she could not hear to let us in, so that we were fain to send the boy in at a window to open the door to us. So up to my chamber all alone, and troubled in mind to think how much of late I have addicted myself to expense and pleasure, that now I can hardly reclaim myself to look after my great business of settling gravely business, till it is now almost too late. I pray God give me the grace to begin now to look after my business, but it always was, and I fear will ever be, my foible, that after I am once got behindhand with business, I am hard to set it again to recover it. In the evening I began to look over my accounts, and upon the whole I do find myself, by what I can yet see, worth near £600, for which God be blessed, which put me into great comfort. So to supper, and to bed. The 9th of September. To the Privy Seal in the morning, but my lord did not come, so I went with Captain Morris, at his desire, into the King's Privy Kitchen, to Mr. Sayers, the master cook, and there we had a good slice of beef or two to our breakfast. And from thence he took us into the wine cellar, where, by my troth, we were very merry, and I drank too much wine, and all along had great and particular kindness from Mr. Sayer. But I drank so much wine that I was not fit for business, and therefore at noon I went and walked in Westminster Hall a while, and thence to Salisbury Court Playhouse, where was acted the first time, "'Tis Pity She's a Whore," a simple play, and ill-acted. Only it was my fortune to sit by a most pretty and most ingenious lady, which pleased me much. Thence home and find Sir William's both, and much more company, gone to the Dolphin, to drink the 30 shillings that we got the other day of Sir William Penn about his tankard. Here was Sir Robert Slingsby, Holmes, Captain Allen, Mr. Turner, his wife and daughter, my Lady Batten, and Mistress Martha, etc., and an excellent company of fiddlers, so we exceeding merry till late. And then we begun to tell Sir William Penn the business, but he hath been drinking today, and so is almost gone that we could not make him understand it, which caused us more sport. But so much the better, for I believe when he doth come to understand it, he will be angry. He hath so talked of the business himself, and the letters, up and down, that he will be ashamed to be found abused in it. So home and to bed. The 10th of September. At the office all the morn, dined at home, then my wife into Wood Street, to buy a chest, and thence to buy other things at my Uncle Fenner's, though by reason of rain we had ill walking. Thence to my brother Tom's, and there discoursed with him about business, and so to the wardrobe to see my lady, and after supper with the young ladies, bought a link and carried it myself till I met one that would light me home for the link. So he light me home with his own, and then I did give him mine. This night I find Mary, my cousin William Joyce's maid, come to me to be my cook-maid, and so my house is full again. So to bed. The 11th of September. Early to my cousin Thomas Trice, to discourse about our affairs, and he did make demand of the £200 and the interest thereof. But for the £200 I did agree to pay him, but for the other I did desire to be advised. So from him to Dr. Williams, who did carry me into his garden, where he hath abundance of grapes, and did show me how a dog that he hath doth kill all the cats that come thither to kill his pigeons, and doth afterwards bury them, and doth it with so much care that they shall be quite covered, that if but the tip of the tail hangs out, he will take up the cat again and dig the hole deeper, which is very strange. And he tells me he doth believe that he hath killed above 100 cats. After he was ready, we went up and down to inquire about my affairs, and then parted, and to the wardrobe, and there took Mr. Moore to Thomas Trice, who promised to let Mr. Moore have copies of the bond and my aunt's deed of gift. And so I took him home to my house to dinner, where I find my wife's brother Balti, as fine as hands could make him, and his servant, a Frenchman, to wait on him, and came to have my wife to visit a young lady which he is a servant to, and hath hoped to trepan and get for his wife. I did give way for my wife to go with him, and so after dinner they went. And Mr. Moore and I out again, he about his business, and I to Dr. Williams to talk with him again, and he and I, walking through Lincoln's Inn Fields, observed at the opera a new play, Twelfth Night, was acted there, and the King there. So I, against my own mind and resolution, could not forbear to go in, which did make the play seem a burden to me, and I took no pleasure at all in it. And so, after it was done, went home with my mind troubled for my going thither, after my swearing to my wife that I would never go to a play without her. So that what with this and things going so cross to me as to matters of my uncle's estate, makes me very much troubled in my mind. And so to bed. My wife was with her brother to see his mistress today, and says she is young, rich, and handsome, but not likely for him to get. The 12th of September. Though it was an office day, yet I was forced to go to the Privy Seal, at which I was all the morning, and from thence to my lady's to dinner at the wardrobe. And in my way, upon the Thames, I saw the King's new pleasure boat, that is come now for the King to take pleasure in above bridge, and also two fine gondolas, that are lately brought, which are very rich and fine. After dinner I went into my lady's chamber, where I find her up now, out of her childbed, which I was glad to see, and after an hour's talk with her I took leave, and to Thomas Trice again, and sat talking and drinking with him about our business a great while, and do find that I am likely to be forced to pay interest for the £200. By and by in comes my uncle Thomas, and as he was alway a close cunning fellow, so he carries himself to me, and says nothing of what his endeavours are, though to my trouble I know that he is about recovering of gravely. But neither I nor he begun any discourse of that business. From thence to Dr. Williams again, at the little blind alehouse in Shoe Lane at the Gridiron, a place I am ashamed to be seen to go into. And there, with some bland counsel of his, we discourse our matters. But I find men of so different minds that by my troth I know not what to trust to. It being late, I took leave and by link home, and called at Sir William Batten's, and there hear that Sir William Penn doth take our jest of the tankard very ill, which I am sorry for. The 13th of September. This morning I was sent for by my Uncle Fenner to come and advise about the burial of my aunt the butcher, who died yesterday, and from thence to the Anchor by Doctors' Commons, and there Dr. Williams and I did write a letter for my purpose to Mr. Sedgwick of Cambridge, about gravely business. And after that I left him, and an attorney with him, and went to the wardrobe, where I find my wife, and thence she and I to the water to spend the afternoon in pleasure. And so we went to Old George's, and there ate as much as we would of a hot shoulder of mutton, and so to boat again, and home. So to bed, my mind very full of business and trouble. The 14th of September. At the office all the morning, at noon to the change, and then home again to dinner, where my Uncle Fenner, by appointment, came and dined with me, thinking to go together to my Aunt Kite's that is dead. But before we had dined, comes Sir Robert Slingsby and his lady, and a great deal of company to take my wife and I by barge to show them the King's and Duke's yachts. So I was forced to leave my uncle and brother Tom at dinner, and go forth with them. And we had great pleasure seeing all four yachts, viz. Those two, and the two Dutch ones. And so home again, and I, after writing letters by post, to bed. The 15th of September, Lord's Day. To my Aunt Kite's in the morning, to help my Uncle Fenner to put things in order against anon, for the burial. And at noon home again, and after dinner to church, my wife and I. And after sermon with my wife to the burial of my Aunt Kite, where, besides us and my Uncle Fenner's family, there was none of any quality, but poor rascally people. So we went to church with the corpse, and there had service read at the grave, and back again with Peg Kite, who will be, I doubt, a troublesome carrion to us executors. But if she will not be ruled, I shall fling up my executorship. After that, home, and William Joyce along with me, where we sat and talked and drunk and ate an hour or two. And so he went away, and I up to my chamber, and then to prayers and to bed. The 16th and 17th of September. This morning I was busy at home to take in my part of our freight of coals, which Sir George Carteret, Sir Robert Slingsby and myself sent for, which is 10 children, 8 of which I took in, and with the other 2 repaid Sir William Penn what I borrowed of him a little while ago, so that from this day I shall see how long 10 children of coals will serve my house, if it please the Lord to let me live to see them burnt. In the afternoon, by appointment to meet Dr. Williams and his attorney, and they and I to Thomas Trice, and there got him in discourse to confess the words that he had said that his mother did desire him not to sue my uncle about her £200 bond while she was alive. Here we were at high words with Thomas Trice, and then parted, and we to standings in Fleet Street, where we sat and drunk and talked a great while about my going down to Gravely Court, which will be this week, whereof the doctor had notice in a letter from his sister this week. In the middle of our discourse, word was brought me from my brothers that there is a fellow come from my father out of the country on purpose to speak with me. So I went to him, and he made a story how he had lost his letter, but he was sure it was for me to come into the country, which I believed, and thought it might be to give me notice of Gravely Court. But I afterward find that it was a rogue that did used to play such tricks to get money of people, but he got none of me. At night I went home, and there find letters from my father informing me of the court, and that I must come down and meet him at Impington, which I presently resolved to do. And the next morning got up, telling my wife of my journey, and she, with a few words, got me to hire her a horse to go along with me. So I went to my lady's and elsewhere to take leave, and of Mr. Townsend did borrow a very fine side saddle for my wife, and so after all things were ready, she and I took coach to the end of the town toward Kingsland, and there got upon my horse, and she upon her pretty mare that I hired her. And she rides very well, by the mare at one time falling. She got a fall, but no harm. So we got to Ware, and there supped and to bed, very merry and pleasant. The 18th of September. The next morning, up early, and begun our march. The way about Puckridge very bad, and my wife, in the very last dirty place of all, got a fall, but no hurt, though some dirt. At last she begun, poor wretch, to be tired, and I to be angry at it. But I was to blame, for she is a very good companion as long as she is well. In the afternoon, we got to Cambridge, where I left my wife at my cousin Ange's, while I went to Christ College, and there find my brother in his chamber, and talked with him. And so to the barber's, and then to my wife again, and remounted for Impington, where my uncle received me and my wife very kindly. And by, in comes my father, and we supped and talked and were merry, but being weary and sleepy, my wife and I to bed without talking with my father anything about our business. The 19th of September. Up early, and my father and I alone into the garden, and there talked about our business and what to do therein. So after I had talked and advised with my cousin Claxton, and then with my uncle by his bedside, we all horsed away into Cambridge, where my father and I, having left my wife at the Bear with my brother, went to Mr. Sedgwick, the steward of Gravely, and there talked with him, but could get little hopes from anything that he would tell us. But at last I did give him a fee, and then he was free to tell me what I asked, which was something, though not much comfort. From thence to our horses, and with my wife went and rode through Stourbridge Fair, but the fair was almost done, so we did not light there at all, but went back to Cambridge, and there at the Bear had some herrings, we and my brother, and after dinner set out for Brampton, where we come in very good time, and find all things well, and being somewhat weary, after some talk about tomorrow's business with my father, we went to bed. The 20th of September. Will Stanks and I set out in the morning betimes for Gravely, where to an alehouse and drank, and then, going toward the courthouse, met my uncle Thomas and his son Thomas, with Bradley, the rogue that had betrayed us, and one Young, a cunning fellow who guides them. There passed no unkind words at all between us, but I seemed fair, and went to drink with them. I said little till by and by that we came to the court, which was a simple meeting of a company of country rogues, with the steward and two fellows of Jesus College, that are lords of the town, where the jury was sworn, and I producing no surrender, though I told them I was sure there is and must be one somewhere, they find my uncle Thomas heir at law, as he is, and so, though I did tell him and his son that they would find themselves abused by these fellows, and did advise them to forbear being admitted this court, which they would have done, but that these rogues did persuade them to do it now, my uncle was admitted, and his son also, in reversion after his father, which he did well in to secure his money. The father paid a year and a half for his fine, and the son half a year, in all £48, besides about £3 fees. So that I do believe the charges of his journeys, and what he gives his two rogues, and other expenses herein, cannot be less than £70, which will be a sad thing for them if a surrender be found. After all was done, I openly wished them joy in it, and so rode to Offord with them, and there parted fairly, without any words. I took occasion to bid them money for their half acre of land, which I have a mind to do, that in the surrender I might secure Piggott's, which otherwise I shall be forced to lose. So with Stanks home and supped, and after telling my father how things went, I went to bed with my mind in good temper, because I saw the matter and manner of the court, and the bottom of my business, wherein I was before and should always have been ignorant. The 21st of September. All the morning pleasing myself with my father, going up and down the house and garden with my father and my wife, contriving some alterations. After dinner there coming this morning my aunt Haynes and her son from London, that is to live with my father, I rode to Huntingdon, where I met Mr. Phillips, and there put my Bugden matters in order against the court. And so to Hinchingbrook, where Mr. Barnwell showed me the condition of the house, which is yet very backward, and I fear will be very dark in the cloister when it is done. So home, and to supper, and to bed. Very pleasant and quiet. The 22nd of September, Lord's Day. Before church time, walking with my father in the garden, contriving. So to church, where we had common prayer, and a dull sermon by one Mr. Case, who yet I heard sing very well. So to dinner, and busy with my father about his accounts, all the afternoon, and people come to speak with us about business. Mr. Barnwell at night came and supped with us, so after setting matters even with my father and I, to bed. The 23rd of September. Up and sad to hear my father and mother wrangle as they used to do at London, of which I took notice to both, and told them that I should give over care for anything unless they would spend what they have with more love and quiet. So, John Bowles coming to see us before we go, we took horse and got early to Baldock, where there was a fair, and we put in and ate a mouthful of pork, which they made us pay 14 pence for, which vexed us much. And so away to Stevenage, and stayed till a shower was over, and so rode easily to Welling, where we supped well and had 2 beds in the room and so lay single, and must remember it that of all the nights that ever I slept in my life, I never did pass a night with more epicurism of sleep, there being now and then a noise of people stirring that waked me, and then it was a very rainy night, and then I was a little weary, that what between waking and then sleeping again, one after another, I never had so much content in all my life. And so my wife says it was with her. The 24th of September. We rose and set forth, but find a most sad alteration in the road by reason of last night's rains, they being now all dirty and washy, though not deep. So we rode easily through, and only drinking at Holloway, at the sign of a woman with cakes in one hand and a pot of ale in the other, which did give good occasion of mirth, resembling her to the maid that served us. We got home very timely and well, and finding there all well and letters from sea that speak of my lord's being well and his action, though not considerable of any side, at Algier, I went straight to my lady, and there sat and talked with her, and so home again, and after supper we to bed somewhat weary, hearing of nothing ill since my absence but my brother Tom, who is pretty well though again. The 25th of September. By coach with Sir William Penn to Covent Garden. By the way, upon my desire, he told me that I need not fear any reflection upon my lord for their ill success at Algier, for more could not be done than was done. I went to my cousin Thomas Pepys there, and talked with him a good while about our country business, who is troubled at my uncle Thomas his folly, and so we parted. And then meeting Sir Robert Slingsby in St. Martin's Lane, he and I in his coach through the Mews, which is the way that now all coaches are forced to go because of a stop at Charing Cross, by reason of digging of a drain, there to clear the streets, to Whitehall, and there to Mr. Coventry, and talked with him. And thence to my Lord Crewe's, and dined with him, where I was used with all imaginable kindness, both from him and her. And I see that he is afeard that my lord's reputation will a little suffer in common talk by this late success, but there is no help for it now. The Queen of England, as she is now owned and called, I hear, doth keep court and distinct at Lisbon. Thence, much against my nature and will, yet such is the power of the devil over me, I could not refuse it, to the theatre, and saw The Merry Wives of Windsor, ill done. And that ended with Sir William Penn and Sir George Askew to the tavern, and so home with him by coach. And after supper to prayers, and to bed, in full quiet of mind as to thought, though full of business, blessed be God. The 26th of September. At the office all the morning. So dined at home and then abroad with my wife by coach to the theatre, to show her King and No King, it being very well done. And so by coach, though hard to get it being rainy, home. So to my chamber to write letters and the journal for these 6 last days past. The 27th of September. By coach to Whitehall with my wife, where she went to see Mistress Pierce, who was this day churched, her month of childbed being out. I went to Mr. Montague and other businesses, and at noon met my wife at the wardrobe, and there dined, where we find Captain Country, my little captain that I loved, who carried me to the Sound, come with some grapes and melons from my lord at Lisbon, the first that ever I saw any. And my wife and I ate some and took some home, but the grapes are rare things. Here we stayed, and in the afternoon comes Mr. Edward Montague, by appointment this morning, to talk with my lady and me about the provisions fit to be bought, and sent, to my lord along with him, and told us that we need not trouble ourselves how to buy them, for the king would pay for all, and that he would take care to get them, which put my lady and me into a great deal of ease of mind. Here we stayed and supped too, and after my wife had put up some of the grapes in a basket for to be sent to the king, we took coach and home, where we find a hamper of melons sent to me also. The 28th of September. At the office in the morning, dined at home, and then Sir William Penn and his daughter and I and my wife to the theatre, and there saw Father's Own Son, a very good play, and the first time I ever saw it. And so, at night, to my house, and there sat and talked and drank and merrily broke up, and to bed. The 29th of September, Lord's Day. To church in the morning, and so to dinner, and Sir William Penn and daughter, and Mistress Poole, his kinswoman. Captain Poole's wife came by appointment to dinner with us, and a good dinner we had for them, and were very merry. And so to church again, and then to Sir William Penn's, and there supped, where his brother, a traveller, and one that speaks Spanish very well, and a merry man, supped with us. And when at dinner and supper, I drank, I know not how, of my own accord, so much wine, that I was even almost foxed, and my head ached all night. So home, and to bed without prayers, which I never did yet since I came to the house of a Sunday night, I being now so out of order that I durst not read prayers, for fear of being perceived by my servants in what case I was. So to bed. The 30th of September. This morning up by moonshine, at 5 o'clock to Whitehall to meet Mr. Moore at the Privy Seal, but he not being come as appointed, I went into King Street to the Red Lion to drink my morning draught. And there I heard of a fray between the two ambassadors of Spain and France, and that this day, being the day of the entrance of an ambassador from Sweden, they were intended to fight for the precedence. Our king, I heard, hath ordered that no Englishman should meddle in the business, but let them do what they would. And to that end all the soldiers in the town were in arms all the day long, and some of the train bands in the city, and a great bustle through the city all the day. Then I to the Privy Seal, and there Mr. Moore, and a gentleman being come with him, we took coach, which was the business I came for, to Chelsea, to my Lord Privy Seal, and there got him to seal that business. Here I saw by daylight two very fine pictures in the gallery, that a little while ago I saw by night, and did also go all over the house, and find it to be the prettiest contrived house that ever I saw in my life. So to coach back again, and at Whitehall, light, and saw the soldiers and people running up and down the streets. So I went to the Spanish ambassadors and the French, and there saw great preparations on both sides. But the French made the most noise and vaunted most. The other made no stir almost at all, so that I was afeard the other would have had too great a conquest over them. Then to the wardrobe and dined there, and then abroad, and in Cheapside, hear that the Spaniard hath got the best of it, and killed three of the French coach-horses and several men, and is gone through the city next to our king's coach, at which it is strange to see how all the city did rejoice. And indeed we do naturally all love the Spanish and hate the French. But I, as I am in all things curious, presently got to the waterside, and there took oars to Westminster Palace, thinking to have seen them come in thither with all the coaches. But they being come and returned, I run after them with my boy after me, through all the dirt and the streets full of people, till at last at the mews I saw the Spanish coach go with 50 drawn swords at least to guard it, and our soldiers shouting for joy. And so I followed the coach and then met it at York House, where the ambassador lies, and there it went in with great state. So then I went to the French House, where I observe still that there is no men in the world of a more insolent spirit where they do well, or before they begin a matter, and more abject if they do miscarry than these people are. For they all look like dead men, and not a word among them, but shake their heads. The truth is, the Spaniards were observed not only to fight more desperately, but also they did outwit them, first in lining their own harness with chains of iron that they could not be cut, then in setting their coach in the most advantageous place, and to appoint men to guard every one of their horses, and others for to guard the coach, and others the coachmen, and above all in setting upon the French horses and killing them, for by that means the French were not able to stir. There were several men slain of the French, and one or two of the Spaniards, and one Englishman by a bullet, which is very observable, the French were at least 4 to 1 in number, and had near 100 case of pistols among them, and the Spaniards had not one gun among them, which is for their honour for ever, and the other's disgrace. So having been very much daubed with dirt, I got a coach and home, where I vexed my wife in telling of her this story and pleading for the Spaniard against the French. So ends this month. Myself and family in good condition of health, but my head full of my lord's and my own and the office business, where we are now very busy about the business of sending forces to Tangier, and the fleet to my lord of Sandwich, who is now at Lisbon, to bring over the Queen, who doth now keep a court as Queen of England. The business of Algier hath of late troubled me, because my lord hath not done what he went for, though he did as much as any man in the world could have done. The want of money puts all things, and above all things the navy, out of order, and yet I do not see that the king takes care to bring in any money, but thinks of new designs to lay out money. October 1661. The First. This morning my wife and I lay long in bed, and among other things fell in talk of music, and desired that I would let her learn to sing, which I did consider and promised her she should. So before I rose, word was brought me that my singing master, Mr. Goodgroom, was come to teach me, and so she rise, and this morning begun to learn also. To the office, where busy all day. So to dinner, and then to the office again till night. And then to my study at home, to set matters and papers in order, which, though I can hardly bring myself to do, yet doth please me much when it is done. So ate a bit of bread and cheese, and to bed. The 2nd of October. All this morning at Peg Kite's, with my Uncle Fenner and two friends of his, prizing her goods that her mother hath left. But the slut is like to prove so troublesome that I am out of heart with troubling myself in her business. After we had done, we all went to a cook's shop in Bishopsgate Street, and dined. And then I took him to the tavern, and did give them a quart of sack, and so parted. I home, and there took my wife out, and in a coach of a gentlewoman's that had been to visit my Lady Batten, and was going home again our way, we went to the theatre. But coming late and sitting in an ill place, I never had so little pleasure in a play in my life. Yet it was the first time that I ever saw it. Vittorio Corombona, methinks a very poor play. And then at night troubled to get my wife home, it being very dark. And so we were forced to have a coach. So to supper and to bed. The 3rd of October. At the office all the morning, dined at home, and in the afternoon Mr. Moore came to me, and he and I went to Tower Hill to meet with a man, and so back all three to my house, and there I signed a bond to Mr. Battersby, a friend of Mr. Moore's, who lends me £50, the first money that ever I borrowed upon bond for my own occasions. And so I took them to the Mitre, and a Portugal melon with me. There sat and discoursed in matters of religion till night with great pleasure, and so parted. And I home, calling at Sir William Batten's, where his son and his wife was, who had yesterday been at the play where we was, and it was a good sport to hear how she talked of it with admiration, like a fool. So home, and my head was not well with the wine that I drank today. The 4th of October. By coach to Whitehall with Sir William Penn, so to Mr. Montague, where his man, Monsieur Esquire, makes a great complaint against the English, that they did help the Spaniard against the French the other day, and that their ambassador doth demand justice of our king, and that he doth resolve to be gone for France the next week, which I and all that I meet with, all are very glad of. Thence to Paternoster Row, where my Will did receive the £50 I borrowed yesterday. I to the wardrobe to dinner, and there stayed most of the afternoon very merry with the ladies. Then Captain Ferrers and I to the theatre, and there came too late, so we stayed and saw a bit of Vittoria, which pleased me worse than it did the other day. So we stayed not to see it out, but went out and drank a bottle or two of China ale, and so I home, where I find my wife vexed at her people for grumbling to eat Suffolk cheese, which I also am vexed at. So to bed. The 5th of October. At the office all the morning, then dined at home, and so stayed at home all the afternoon, putting up my lord's model of the Royal James, which I borrowed of him long ago to hang up in my room. And at night Sir William Penn and I alone to the Dolphin, and there ate some bloat herrings, and drank good sack. Then came in Sir William Warren and another, and stayed a while with us, and then Sir Arnold Brames, with whom we stayed late, until we had drank too much wine. So home, and I to bed, pleased at my afternoon's work in hanging up the ship. So to bed. The 6th of October, Lord's Day. To church in the morning Mr. Mills preached, who I expect should take it in snuff that my wife did not come to his child's christening the other day. The winter coming on, many of parish ladies are come home and appear at church again, among others, the three sisters of the Thornburys, very fine, and the most zealous people that ever I saw in my life, even to admiration, if it were true zeal. There was also my pretty black girl, Mistress Deakins, and Mistress Margaret Penn this day came to church in a new flowered satin suit that my wife helped to buy her the other day. So home to dinner, and to church that afternoon to St. Gregory's by Paul's, where I saw Mr. Moore in the gallery, and so went up to him, and hear a good sermon of Dr. Buck, one I never heard before, but a very able man. So home, and in the evening I went to my Valentine, her father and mother being out of town, to fetch her to supper to my house. And then came Sir William Penn, and would have her to his, so with much sport I got them all to mine, and we were merry. And so broke up and to bed. The 7th of October. Up in the morning and to my Uncle Fenner's, thinking to have met Peg Kite about her business, but she comes not. And so I went to Dr. Williams's, where I find him sick in bed and was sorry for it. So about business all day, troubled in my mind till I can hear from Brampton how things go at Sturtlow at the court, which I was cleared in at night by a letter, which tells me that my cousin Thomas was there to be admitted in his father's name as heir at law, but that he was opposed, and I was admitted by proxy, which put me out of great trouble of mind. The 8th of October. At the office all the morning. After office done, went and ate some Colchester oysters with Sir William Batten at his house, and there with some company dined, and stayed there talking all the afternoon, and late after dinner took Mistress Martha out by coach, and carried her to the theatre in a frolic, to my great expense, and there showed her part of the beggar's bush, without much pleasure, but only for a frolic, and so home again. The 9th of October. This morning went out about many affairs, among others to put my theorbo out to be mended, and then at noon home again, thinking to go with Sir William's both to dinner, by invitation, to Sir William Ryder's. But at home I find Mistress Pierce, La Belle, and Madam Clifford, with whom I was forced to stay, and made them the best welcome I could, and I was, God knows, very well pleased with their beautiful company. And after dinner took them to the theatre, and showed them The Chances, and so saw them both at home, and back to the Fleece Tavern in Covent Garden, where Llewellyn and Blurton and my old friend Frank Bagg was to meet me. And there stayed till late, very merry. Frank Bagg tells me a story of Mistress Pepys that lived with my Lady Harvey, Mr. Montague's sister, a good woman, that she hath been very ill, and often asked for me, that she is in good condition, and that nobody could get her to make her will, but that she did still inquire for me, and that now she is well, she desires to have a chamber at my house. Now do not I know whether this is a trick of Bagg's, or a good will of hers to do something for me, but I will not trust her, but told him I should be glad to see her, and that I would be sure to do all that I could to provide a place for her. So, by coach, home late. The 10th of October. At the office all the morning. Dined at home, and after dinner Sir William Penn and my wife and I to the theatre, she first going into Covent Garden to speak a word with a woman to inquire of her mother, and I, in the meantime, with Sir William Penn's coach, staying at William Joyce's, where the King came today. And there was The Traitor most admirably acted, and a most excellent play it is. So home, and intended to be merry, it being my sixth wedding night. But by a late bruise in one of my testicles, I'm in so much pain that I ate my supper, and in pain to bed. Yet my wife and I pretty merry. The 11th of October. All day in bed with a cataplasm to my cod, and at night rise a little, and to bed again, in more ease than last night. This noon there came my brother and Dr. Thomas and Snow to dinner, and by themselves were merry. The 12th of October. In bed the greatest part of this day also, and my swelling in some measure gone. I received a letter this day from my father that Sir Robert Bernard doth a little fear that my uncle hath not observed exactly the custom of Brampton, and in his will about his lands there, which puts me to a great trouble in mind, and at night I wrote to him and to my father about it, being much troubled at it. The 13th of October, Lord's Day. Did not stir out all day, but rose and dined below. And this day left off half shirts, and put on a waistcoat, and my false tabby waistcoat with gold lace. And in the evening there comes Sir William Batten to see me, and sat and supped very kindly with me, and so to prayers and to bed. The 14th of October. This morning I ventured by water abroad to Westminster, but I lost my labour and time, for Mr. Montague was not in town. So to the wardrobe, and there dined with my lady, which is the first time that I have seen her dine abroad since her being brought to bed of my Lady Catherine. In the afternoon Captain Ferrers and I walked abroad to several places, among others to Mr. Pym's, my lord's tailor's, and there he went out with us to the Fountain Tavern, and did give us store of wine. It being the Duke of York's birthday, we drank the more to his health. But, Lord, what a sad story he makes of his being abused by a doctor of physic, who is in one part of the tenement wherein he dwells. It would make one laugh, though I see he is under a great trouble in it. thence home by link, and find a good answer from my father, that Sir Robert Bernard doth clear all things as to us and our title to Brampton, which puts my heart in great ease and quiet. The 15th of October. At the office all the morning, and so dined at home, and in the afternoon to Paul's churchyard, to a blind place where Mistress Goldsborough was to meet me, who dare not be known where she lives, to treat about the difference which remains between my uncle and her. But, Lord, to hear how she talks and how she rails against my uncle would make one mad. But I seemed not to be troubled at it, but would indeed gladly have an agreement with her. So I appoint Mr. Moore, and she another, against Friday next, to look into our papers, and to see what can be done to conclude the matter. So home in much pain. By walking too much yesterday, I have made my testicle to swell again, which much troubles me. The 16th of October. In bed till 12 o'clock. This morning came several maids to my wife to be hired. At last she pitched upon one Nell, whose mother, an old woman, came along with her, but would not be hired under half a year, which I am pleased at their drollness. This day dined by appointment with me Dr. Thomas Pepys and my cousin Snow, and my brother Tom, upon a fin of ling and some sounds, neither of which did I ever know before, but most excellent meat they are both, that in all my life I never ate the like fish. So after dinner came in William Joyce, and ate and drank, and were merry. So up to my chamber, and put all my papers at rights. And in the evening our maid, Mary, who was with us upon trial for a month, did take her leave of us, going, as we supposed, to be married, for the maid liked us, and we her, but all she said was that she had a mind to live in a tradesman's house, where there was but one maid. So to supper and to bed. The 17th of October. At the office all the morning. At noon my wife being gone to my cousin Snow's with Dr. Thomas Pepys and my brother Tom, to a venison pasty, which proved a pasty of salted pork. By appointment I went with Captain David Lambert to the Exchange, and from thence, by appointment, he and I were to meet at a cook's shop to dine. But before I went to him, Captain Cock, a merchant I have not long known, took me off to the Sun Tavern, and gave me a glass of sack, and being a man of great observation and repute, did tell me that he was confident that the Parliament, when it comes the next month to sit again, would bring trouble with it, and inquire how the King hath disposed of offices and money before they will raise any more, which I fear will bring all things to ruin again. Thence to the cook's, and there dined with Captain Lambert and his father-in-law, and had much talk of Portugal, from whence he has lately come, and he tells me that it is a very poor, dirty place, I mean the city and court of Lisbon, that the King is a very rude and simple fellow, and for reviling of somebody a little while ago, and calling off him cuckold, was run into the cods with a sword, and had been killed, had he not told them that he was their king. That there is no glass windows, nor will have any, which makes sport among our merchants there to talk of an English factor, that being newly come thither, he writ into England that glass would be a good commodity to send thither, etc. That the King hath his meat sent up by a dozen of lazy guards, and in pipkins sometimes to his own table, and sometimes nothing but fruits, and now and then half a hen. And that now the Infanta is become our queen, she is come to have a whole hen or goose to her table, which is not ordinary. So home, and to look over my papers that concern the difference between Mistress Goldsborough and us, which cost me much pains, but contented me much after it was done. So at home all the evening, and to supper and bed. The 18th of October. To Whitehall, to Mr. Montague's, where I met with Mr. Pierce, the purser, to advise about the things to be sent to my lord for the Queen's provision, and was cleared in it, and that now there is all haste made for the fleet's going. At noon to my lady's to dinner, and in the afternoon, leaving my wife there, Mr. Moore and I to Mistress Goldsborough, who sent for a friend to meet with us. And so we were talking about the difference between us till 10 at night. I find it very troublesome, and have brought it into some hopes of an agreement. I offering her to forgive her £16 that is yet due, according to my uncle's accounts, to us. So we left her friend to advise about it, and I hope to hear of her, for I would not by any means go to law with a woman of so devilish a tongue as she is. So to my lady's, where I left my wife to lie with Mademoiselle all night, and I by link home and to bed. This night, lying alone, and the weather cold, and having this last 7 or 8 days been troubled with a tumour in one of my stones, which is now abated by a poultice of a good handful of bran, with half a pint of vinegar, and a pint of water boiled till it be thick, and then a spoonful of honey put to it, and so some spread in a cloth and laid to it. I first put on my waistcoat, to lie in all night this year, and do not intend to pull it off again till spring. I met with complaints at home that my wife left no victuals for them all this day. The 19th of October. At the office all morning, and at noon Mr. Coventry, who sat with us all this morning, and Sir George Carteret, Sir William Penn and myself, by coach to Captain Marsh's at Limehouse, to a house that hath been their ancestors for this 250 years, close by the Limehouse, which gives the name to the place. Here they have a design to get the King to hire a dock for the herring buses, which is now the great design on foot, to lie up in. We had a very good and handsome dinner and excellent wine. I not being neat in clothes, which I find a great fault in me, could not be so merry as otherwise, and at all times I am and can be, when I am in good habit, which makes me remember my father Osborne's rule for a gentleman, to spare in all things rather than in that. So by coach home, and so to write letters by post, and so to bed. The 20th of October, Lord's Day. At home in bed all the morning to ease my late tumour, but up to dinner and much offended in mind at a proud trick my man Will hath got to keep his hat on in the house. But I will not speak of it to him to-day, but I fear I shall be troubled with his pride and laziness, though in other things he is good enough. To church in the afternoon, where a sleepy presbyter preached, and then to Sir William Batten, who is to go to Portsmouth tomorrow too, to wait upon the Duke of York, who goes to take possession, and to set in order the garrison there. Supped at home, and to bed. The 21st of October. Early with Mr. Moore by coach to Chelsea, to my Lord Privy Seal's, but have missed of coming time enough, and having taken up Mr. Pargiter, the goldsmith, who is the man of the world that I do most know and believe to be a cheating rogue, we drank our morning draught there together, of cake and ale, and did make good sport of his losing so much by the King's coming in, he having bought much of Crown lands, of which, God forgive me, I am very glad. At Whitehall, at the Privy Seal, did with Sir William Penn take advice about passing of things of his there that concern his matters of Ireland. Thence to the wardrobe, and dined. So, against my judgment and conscience, which God forgive me, for my very heart knows that I offend God in breaking my vows herein, to the opera, which is now newly begun to act again, after some alteration of their scene, which doth make it very much worse. But the play, Love and Honour, being the first time of their acting it, is a very good plot, and well done. So, on foot home, and after a little business done in my study and supper, to bed. The 22nd of October. At the office all the morning, where we had a deputation from the Duke, in his absence, he being gone to Portsmouth, for us to have the whole dispose and ordering of the fleet. In the afternoon, about business up and down, and at night to visit Sir Robert Slingsby, who is fallen sick of this new disease, an ague and fever. So home, after visiting my Aunt White and Mistress Norbury, who continues still a very pleasant lady, and to supper, and so to bed. The 23rd of October. To Whitehall, and there to drink our morning draught, Sir William Penn and I, at a friend's lodging of his, Colonel Treswell, and at noon he and I dined together alone at the Leg, in King Street, and so by coach to Chelsea to my Lord Privy Seal's, about business of Sir William's, in which we had a fair admittance to talk with my Lord, and had his answer. And so back to the opera, and there I saw again Love and Honour, a very good play it is, and thence home, calling by the way to see Sir Robert Slingsby, who continues ill, and so home. This day all our office is invited against Tuesday next, my Lord Mayor's Day, to dinner with him at Guildhall. This evening Mr. Holyard came and sat with us and gave us both directions to observe. The 24th of October. At the office all morning. At noon, Llewellyn dined with me, and then abroad to Fleet Street, leaving my wife at Tom's, while I went out and did a little business. So home again, and went to see Sir Robert, who continues ill, and this day hath not spoke at all, which makes them all afeard of him. So home. The 25th of October. To Whitehall, and so to dinner at the Wardrobe, where my wife met me, and there we met with a venison pasty, and my lady very merry, and very handsome, methought. After dinner my wife and I to the opera, and there saw again Love and Honour, a play so good that it hath been acted but three times, and I've seen them all, and all in this week, which is too much, and more than I will do again a good while. Coming out of the house we met Mistress Pierce, and her comrade Mistress Clifford, and I, seeming willing to stay with them to talk, my wife grew angry, and whether she be jealous or no, I know not, but she loves not that I should speak of Mistress Pierce. Home, on foot, very discontentedly, in my way I calling at the instrument maker's, Hunt's, and there saw my lute, which is now almost done, it being to have a new neck to it, and to be made to double strings. So home and to bed. This day I did give my man Will a sound lesson about his forbearing to give us the respect due to a master and mistress. The 26th of October. This morning Sir William Penn and I should have gone out of town with my Lady Batten to have met Sir William, coming back from Portsmouth at Kingston, but could not by reason that my Lord of Peterborough, who is to go Governor of Tangier, came this morning with Sir George Carteret to advise with us about completing of the affairs and preparations for that place. So at the office all the morning, and in the afternoon Sir William Penn, my wife and I, to the theatre, and there saw The Country Captain, the first time that it hath been acted this 25 years, a play of my Lord Newcastle's, but so silly a play as in all my life I never saw, and the first that ever I was weary of in my life. So home again, and in the evening news was brought that Sir Robert Slingsby, our controller, who hath this day been sick a week, is dead, which put me into so great a trouble of mind that all the night I could not sleep, he being a man that loved me and had many qualities that made me to love him above all the officers and commissioners in the navy. Coming home we called at Daniel Rawlinson's, and there drank good sack, and so home. The 27th of October, Lord's Day. At church in the morning, where in the pew both Sir Williams and I had much talk about the death of Sir Robert, which troubles me much, and them in appearance, though I do not believe it because I know that he was a check to their engrossing the whole trade of the Navy Office. Home to dinner, and in the afternoon to church again, my wife with me, whose mourning is now grown so old that I'm ashamed to go to church with her. And after church, to see my uncle and Aunt White, and there stayed and talked and supped with them and were merry as we could be in their company. Among other things, going up into their chamber to see their two pictures, which I am forced to commend against my judgment. And also she showed us her cabinet, where she had very pretty medals and good jewels. So home, and to prayers, and to bed. The 28th of October. At the office all the morning, and dined at home, and so to Paul's churchyard to Hunt's, and there find my theorbo done, which pleases me very well and cost me 26 shillings to the altering, but now he tells me it is as good a lute as any is in England, and is worth well £10. Hither I sent for Captain Ferrers to me, who comes with a friend of his, and they and I to the theatre, and there saw Argolus and Parthenia, where a woman acted Parthenia and came afterward on the stage in man's clothes, and had the best legs that ever I saw, and I was very well pleased with it. Thence to the Ringo ale-house, and thither sent for a belt-maker, and bought of him a handsome belt for second mourning, which cost me 24 shillings, and is very neat. So home, and to bed.